Well, you may have noticed it. The issues of differing corporate values, personal and religious freedom, and the availability of healthcare services are all colliding today in the U.S. Supreme Court. For-profit companies are challenging the Affordable Care Act, saying that the mandate that requires them to buy health insurance also compels them, against their religious values, to make contraceptives available to their employees. Only insurance plans that offer a package of women's reproductive health services, including contraceptives, are allowed under the Affordable Care Act. There's an exemption for specifically religious and nonprofit employers, but this is moral and religious coercion, say these for-profit plaintiffs. Can one opt out of a federal health care program for religious reasons?
If for-profit employers are allowed to have religious objections, we could see other religious objections for other health care services.
That's Lori Sobel, women's health policy analyst for the Kaiser Family Foundation. And of course, there have been religious objections to acts of government throughout history. Is your religion something practiced in the workplace? Are employees compelled to act according to their employer's religious beliefs? Where do the religious values of a corporation lie? In the hearts of the owners or the practices of the workforce and the employee manual? Sarah Beringer Gordon is a professor of law and history at the University of Pennsylvania. She joins us now. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is at issue here? Who is allowed to express their religious values? Is it the owners of a company? Is it the workers who have to express them? I'm a little confused.
Well, this is a difficult case in part because the companies at issue here are incorporated, they're corporations, and there's no mention of religion in their articles of incorporation. But they do, for example, Hobby Lobby is closed on Sundays, which indicates some desire to respect what they consider the Sabbath. So there are elements of religious behavior here and also elements of just plain secular profit seeking.
Now, Hobby Lobby is, of course, one of the plaintiffs here, and they claim that they have a set of religious values, and they're evoking something called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, which sets a pretty high standard for the federal government in compelling any sort of behavior. It has to meet some sort of religious standards here. Does it apply in this case?
It does apply here. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act was passed in response to an opinion from the Supreme Court written by Justice Scalia that said a neutral and generally applicable law can be applied against religious persons and does not, unless there's hostility against the particular religion or the particular actors, does not really raise a free exercise claim. Congress was upset by that, passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was found unconstitutional as applied to the states. So if we were talking about New York State here, for example, the company would probably not have a case. On the other hand, it still applies against the federal government, which is, of course, the source of the Affordable Care Act.
Are the Supreme Court justices being asked to decide if corporations as people, in the abstract they are considered people, that they can also have a religion?
That's part of the case. If they want to reach that, I think they certainly could. And there's nothing that I think has prepared us for this, honestly. There's no clear precedent other than the fact that 4 years ago in the Citizens United case, the same Supreme Court found that individual corporations did have First Amendment speech rights. So it's the same amendment, only this time the religion clauses.
What will the government argue, or the people on the other side, the lawyers on the other side, what will they argue in this case?
Well, and you heard Lori Sobel talk about floodgates. In other words, if we let this through, there's no end of what will happen. It's also the case that even the plaintiffs in this case don't really agree which birth control they object to. And we have not yet had a trial that would require the plaintiffs to lay out some scientific evidence. Right now, they're just claiming that the act imposes a burden, and we're at a very early stage. So in some sense, this is presenting the case before it's fully developed.
Are these folks trying to be conscientious objectors to the Affordable Care Act in some sense, just raising a religious objection and saying, I get to be opted out of this thing?
Oh, yes, they most certainly are. And this is not a new fight. The fight over women's reproduction is a very old fight in this country. And this is replaying it in yet one more venue.
Sarah Beringer Gordon is professor of law and history at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So arguments inside the courtroom, messages, religious and political, outside the courtroom. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick has spent the day with the demonstrators and plaintiffs outside the courtroom. He joins us now from Capitol Hill. Todd, welcome.
Hi, John.
So I want to give people a sense of what you experienced being among these political messengers, not making an argument so much as portraying what it is they think is at stake in this case. Here are two clips of tape. One is clearly from the plaintiffs here, Hobby Lobby, and the other not so clear. I'll play both of them, and you can tell us, you can fill in the blanks for us.
The choice the government has forced on us is unfair and not in keeping with the history of our great nation founded on religious freedom. We believe that Americans don't lose their religious freedom when they open a family business.
I think that's freedom. I do believe that a business is also reflects the owners. They do. I mean, there's no way you can drop all your beliefs when you walk across a threshold.
There among the demonstrators, that's one plaintiff, it sounds like, and one demonstrator talking about corporate values at stake in this case. What did you experience, Todd?
That's right, John. The first woman you heard from was Barbara Green, co-founder of Hobby Lobby, just after she defended the courthouse steps. And she made her position pretty clear that she's the majority shareholder of that corporation, or at least the plurality shareholder, and doesn't leave her values at the door. And the protester you heard was Renee Piller. She's from Ashburn, Virginia, former retired airline worker and political activist, really described herself as an anti-abortion activist. And it was interesting talking to her and some of the other protesters, too, because you could probably predict, John, many of the protesters on both sides out there in the snow, in the plaza, in front of the Supreme Court, were sort of the traditional anti-abortion, right-to-life protesters, anti-Obamacare folks, and pro-abortion, pro-access, Planned Parenthood-type folks, and many of them pro-Obamacare, which was interesting because, as you just covered with the last guest, it's really not what this case is about. The case is really about whether corporate business entities have those same First Amendment rights that are protected for individuals in the Constitution.
So then before we go, this case will be decided on legal issues that has no bearing on the kinds of passions that you saw outside the courtroom. This is a showcase for an argument that is going to play itself out in the congressional elections in 2014.
John, some of the people who came out of the courtroom, I should tell you, did say that they thought, again, this case would turn on Justice Anthony Kennedy, that the court appeared to be 4-4 and it's questioning with Kennedy in the balance. Of course, we never know how that's going to turn out. But you're right. The broader politics of Obamacare. We know that Republicans have chosen the Affordable Care Act as their cudgel in this midterm election. If this case goes their way, it's just another bullet for them to say this law needs to be repealed and overturned, and that would probably help them in November.
The case outside the courtroom from Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
You bet.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.